11, Luke 19, and Mark 8. So John 11, 33 to 36. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Luke 19, 41 to 44. As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground and you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time your visitation of God." And Mark 8, 11 to 13. The Pharisees came and began to argue with Jesus, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat, he went across to the other side. Blaine?
Once upon a time, there was a world before emojis. Really, there was. If you were old enough and can retrace your steps back just a few years, you might even remember a world before emails and text messaging. Can you remember back when emails first became a thing? When you could type out letters on a keyboard and they'd come up as words on a lit screen in front of you. But soon after the words came up on the flat screen, we also began to notice something else. That you could type out a sentence, but you could not deliver the tone or the mood of that sentence on the screen. You could use the old standard exclamation point for emphasis if you wanted, but really an exclamation point can only take emphasis so far. It wasn't long into this world of emails when I started getting messages typed in all caps, which did seem as if the person on the other side was yelling. And what if the all caps message came with an exclamation point at the end of it? Well, then for sure I knew I was being yelled at. Was the sender of the email really mad? Or maybe did they push the all lock key accidentally? It was hard to tell on this end. Then it was not long before people began to get creative on their keyboards to make up emoticons, to type colon, dash, parentheses. And if the person receiving the email would tilt their head sideways just a little bit, it did sort of look like a smiley face or a saddy face, depending on which parentheses key you chose to use. You could tell if the mood of the message was happy or sad, if the message was meant to be serious or if it was a joke. Well, those now ancient emoticons have now morphed into emojis by the hundreds. We can now attach an emoji smile, a wink, raise an eyebrow, stick out your tongue, bear a toothy grin, show surprise, purse a kiss, cry tears, be straight-faced, click onto a halo face. There are literally hundreds of emojis available to use. Some of them salty, some of them sweet. And so where are you going with all this, Pastor Blaine? Well, back when we started the series on Jesus' emotions, I suggested that we might try sitting alone somewhere with a scratch pad and pencils and to begin sketching a Jesus face with an expression on it. To imagine a facial expression that Jesus might have. So far in this current series that we've done, we had a Jesus anger face, a Jesus anxiety expression, and a Jesus face that registered total peacefulness. Today we are considering Jesus being sad, and maybe we could take that one step further. In the bank of emojis that you have on your device, which one would you put at the end of this sentence? Jesus began to weep. Jesus began to weep. Which one of your hundreds of emojis would you click? Or to this one, the Pharisees came and began to argue with him, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. And Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. Do you have a sigh emoji on your device? Or if you are more of the artistic bent, how would you draw Jesus doing that? Sighing. And I don't know, maybe it's both obvious and a bit snarky at the same time, but our Bible was written before emojis came along. And if we have been taught to stuff our own emotions, then perhaps we miss the emotional cues that are in the Bible. Emotions like sadness that Jesus had several times and in different settings. For it turns out that Jesus didn't always get his way, and it made him sad. And I suppose that might be the one thing that we have in common with Jesus, things that turned out differently than what we had hoped, and we are powerless to change them. And we become sad, sometimes sad to the point of tears. Now, as Paul already alluded to, it might be helpful to remind ourselves that emotions can be difficult to pin down because they can vary in their intensity and in their duration, but they are often honest. Emotions can be an honest signal that have not yet found their appropriate words. This may be a simple explanation, but there was a time when our family gathered at my sister Crystal's house for her son Luke's birthday. Now, for sure, birthdays are meant to be occasions, but what you need to know is that over the years, and for reasons that are lost in the mists of time, our family had developed the tradition of singing Happy Birthday atonally. And over the years, it has gotten more pronounced, and it has gotten worse. It really actually sounds quite awful, like the candles on the cake, and then this horrible sound appears, and then we all laugh like goofballs. Happy, right? Well, Luke was six. His mom lit the candles, and we began our rendition of Happy Birthday, and Luke burst into tears and climbed underneath the kitchen table. No words, just tears under the table. Is it possible that sadness comes first as a signal before anything else can be explained? In two of our scriptures that Paul read for us, Jesus is sad. Sad, but for different reasons. You might remember that this lesson that we heard from John 11 is one that we did look at earlier in our series when we discussed Jesus' emotion of anxiety. And on that Sunday, we said that Jesus had something going on inside of him that was both deep and deep to the core, a deep internal grinding agitation of some sort. And what do you call these things? Today, we are pulling that same scripture back in front of us again into Jesus' emotion of sadness. Jesus is weeping because one of his best friends, Lazarus, has just died. And Jesus is weeping because his friends and their friends around them are also weeping. Jesus is crying with everyone else because it is honest and it is close. Not to be overlooked in this lesson is the comment made by Jesus' friends about Jesus. They said, "See how he loved Lazarus." Have you ever noticed how the depth of a sadness can be proportional to the depth of love that one has? How some relationships carry more emotional content than others? Some of that is going on in this lesson. Jesus' emotion of sadness is tied to his deep love. The other scripture lesson that carries a Jesus sad emoji is the one from Luke. And this one is different. Still sadness, and Jesus is weeping, but for a different reason. This time, Jesus' sadness is not tied to one person, but to a city. For Jesus, this is sort of an if-only moment. If only you had recognized the things that make for peace, this seems like one of those pivotal moments in Jesus' life of ministry. One of those times when you wonder if it has all been worth it. I don't know what it's like for you when you have if only moments. I once saw a parent wringing their hands after their kids graduated from high school and left for college who said, I keep thinking, have I done everything that a parent can do? It's like the thing you think about when you're on the brink, when you're on the boundary of something. Many of us have heard about things like a midlife crisis, those moments in life when you stop to wonder, is anything that I'm doing making any difference at all? I'm halfway through my life. I'm at 40. I'm at 45. I can look back over what I've done in the first half and ask, was it worth it? And should I keep going with what I'm doing? That time in life when you pause for the if-onlys. They can include heartbreaks, like the obituary my sister sent me this week of a guy from our high school track team for whom alcohol cut short his life. If only things would have been different, he'd still be alive. Now, I'm not saying Jesus was in a crisis. I am saying Jesus knows about if onlys, when effort and ministry and love were not enough to sway Jerusalem. And he could see the pending disaster in the future. And all of it made him very sad, sad enough to weep while he looked. Deep love and broken dreams, Jesus knows about them. Of our three scriptures this morning, the one from Mark is the one of Jesus in a non-weeping sadness. This is the one where Jesus sighs. The big exhale of exasperation. This one would be a little tough to emoji. Though I did find out there is an Emojipedia where you can actually look this stuff up. Who knew? The emoji for sighing that I found is not all that convincing. I did not know what mental image of Jesus' face that you carry around. Years back, Scott Peck, the psychotherapist who came to Christianity later in life, began reading through the Gospels for the very first time in his life. And as a therapist, he was surprised at how exasperated Jesus was most of the time. We have that here in our reading from Mark, where some of the deeply faithful and religious men came to test Jesus, asking him to prove it. Prove who you are. Give us a sign from heaven, for crying out loud. And it says that Jesus gave a deep sigh. What? Now, I don't know if Jesus ever smacked his forehead, but this would have been the spot for it. To date, in public, operating out in the open, Jesus has taught, cleansed a man of an unclean spirit, healed Simon's mother-in-law and others, cast out demons, healed the leper, heals a paralytic, then a man with a withered hand, cures diseases, stills a storm, does his famous demons from person to pigs, heals a little girl and a woman from bleeding, feeds 5,000 people, walks on water, heals more sick, heals a Gentile woman, heals a deaf man, feeds 4,000 people, and then that is when the faithful and religious men come to Jesus and ask him to prove himself. And Jesus sighs. I mean, have you not been paying attention? Would not something like that make you just a little sad? And then to boot a few verses down, it's Jesus talking to his disciples. And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to listen? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And I don't know if Jesus says all this with his hands on his hips or not, but what Jesus is fully capable of doing is giving one deep, full chest heave of a sigh. Which is just a little sad. Two things from two people that I think are connected. In Twyla's devotion on Tuesday, she brought up the word awe, which by definition is something that is beautiful or something that is sacred, a strong feeling of amazement. And she cited a researcher who has been scanning human brains and is discovering that when we are in awe of something, our brain changes and we become less self-centered and more other-centered, which is amazing. In a phone conversation with Terry last week, he told me of Kenny, a pastor colleague of his up north, who keeps saying, "We are where we are because our story is too small. That even we Christians can truncate, get bored and frustrated when our story is not large enough. When we, like Jesus' disciples, forget who we're talking to. When we forget how large our universe really is. When we forget the beauty of the architect." I do not have a formula. I do not have a piece of pastoral advice that is guaranteed to chase away sadness. Sadness is an emotion that may not yet have its words. Sadness is an emotion that Jesus had, that can occur when our hopes and when our best efforts have not been enough. And one wonders what pulled Jesus out of his funk when his disciples were forgetful, and when ridiculous requests kept coming his way. But sadness is a signal, it is not an end game. And Jesus didn't hide his very well. Sadness is honest. Sadness is a feeling still looking for a name, a future. And sadness, like its cousin grief, may be on a schedule of its own. I do not know what pulled Jesus from his funk. But according to Mark's gospel, after arguing with the Pharisees and after he sighed deeply, his big, deep belly sigh, it says that Jesus got back into the boat and he left them and he set sail with an eye towards a future, towards a future that had awe, that was awesome, that was still unfolding in front of him as he went back across the water, away from those who had given him sadness. Amen.